to all those who call upon me, says the Lord. I will answer you and show you great and mighty things. You shall know my greatness and my glory as you live out my story. As your life is a light that's been ignited by the flame. When people look on you, they will glorify my name. For I have made you a firebrand, plucked from the fire, and I've put my fire within. My fire, the fire of my spirit, the fire of my word, the fire of my call. Let the fire spread to one and all. Hallelujah. Every believer with these two tools. These are the greatest tools in your toolbox. These tools you can use throughout your lifetime. They are His Word and His Spirit. You know, you have to know how to use both. Some people are all Word and no Spirit. Some people are all Spirit and no Word. But if you want to grow in the knowledge of God, you need both the Word and the Spirit together. God used these two tools to create the universe. They have creative ability. So we have to grow in our knowledge of God's Word and how we can better flow with the Holy Spirit. Do you know that He moves? He speaks? He can be grieved. It's possible for us to quench Him, because the Bible says don't quench Him. But I'm sure that there are a lot of people that do. They carry around wet blankets and they try to put out holy fires. I like to let the holy fire spread. I don't agree with Smokey the Bear when it comes to spiritual fire. Right? He puts out forest fires. Only you can prevent forest fires. Right? I want you to go to the Gospel of John, chapter 1. So with these two tools, you can discover that all things are possible. So let's go to the Gospel of John. And wasn't it good to have Elliot here tonight? So he'll be with us on Sunday as well. And we're glad that he can be here. Amen. So John chapter 1, starting with verse 1. In the beginning was the Word. The Word was with God, and the Word was God. Everybody say, the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. So from the very onset, we see that the Word and the Spirit were in the beginning. And they're still here today. All things were made by Him, verse 3. And without Him was not anything made that was made. How many things did He make? Did anything slip by Him that, you know, it just appeared without Him? No, it didn't. In creation, Jesus never said, oops. All right? It's not something you want to hear your barber say. And in Him was life. Where was life? So if life was in Him, what was the life that was in Him? The Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is God's Spirit. And He is in Him, just like He's in us. Okay, everyone that believes in Jesus Christ has the Holy Spirit. And then if you want an additional experience, you can be baptized with the Holy Spirit. That's being immersed in fire. You can be a you can be a fried Christian immersed in fire. So here's what the New Living Translation says. In the beginning, the Word already existed. He was with God. Notice he refers to the Word as a He. This is New Living Translation. And He was God. He was in the beginning with God. He created everything there is. Nothing exists that He didn't make. Life itself was in Him. This life gives light to everyone. So life gives light. The light shines through the darkness, and the darkness can never extinguish it. I love that. That's the New Living Translation. Okay, so we see that in the beginning, the Word was there in the beginning, the Word was with God, and the Word was God. All right? God defines Himself by His Word. Do you realize God will never deviate from His Word? And the Holy Spirit, His Spirit, was the one who authored the Word. Holy men of God were inspired by who? The Holy Spirit. And they wrote what God told them to write. Okay? So, the Word was in the beginning, the Word was with God, and the Word was God. God defines Himself by the Word. He is a man of His Word. He will never go against His own Word. For example, who did God give authority on this earth to? To man, right? You go back to Genesis, He blessed Adam and Eve. He gave them dominion, right? Over everything and creeps. See, I have dominion over creeps. You do. There's no creep that can get the best of you because you have dominion over everything that creeps. So, in order to restore this earth that was lost and broken, what did God have to do? He had to become a man. Why? He was the one who said that. So He never contradicts His Word. Okay? So, His Word gave existence to all things. Okay? We know that He spoke words, and the Holy Spirit took those words, He activated them, and they became alive. They became into being. In Him was life. Holy Spirit was in Him to illuminate them. Okay? And we know that the Holy Spirit, in the beginning of creation, He was hovering over creation, right? What was He hovering for? Like a helicopter. Or a hummingbird. Right? He was hovering because He was waiting for God to speak. Did you know that the Holy Spirit waits for you to speak God's Word so that He can bring it to pass, activate it in your life? We have the privilege of speaking God's Word just like God spoke His Word in the beginning to create things. But we have to know how to use these two great tools, the Word and the Spirit. They work together. They're always in agreement. They're in perfect harmony, perfect union. Okay, God, He's three in one, right? So God the Spirit was hovering, God the Father was speaking, and God the Son was acting in the beginning. Jesus was the actual Word that God spoke. God spoke the Word, and the Holy Spirit made the Word come to pass. God said, "Let there be light." He released the Word into the atmosphere, and the Holy Spirit went, "Phew!" And the minute God spoke, He gave life to those words, and life came into be, or light came into being. That's powerful. All right, let's go to John chapter 6. John chapter 6. And let's go down to verse 63. See, John 1:4 says, in him was life. And the life that was in him was the Holy Spirit. How did you become a living being? What did God do to make you alive? He breathed the breath of life into you. He breathed his spirit into you, and you became a living soul. So John 6:63, Bible says this: it is the Spirit that quickens. That King James says quickens, but you know what that word quickens means? Makes alive. Who makes alive? The Spirit. It is the Spirit that quickens. The flesh profits nothing. The words that I speak to you are spirit and life. So what do we know from this? We know that the Holy Spirit is God's, the Holy Spirit is God's horsepower to the Word. Some of you that are into cars, you like horsepower, right? So this Holy Spirit, he makes alive. The Spirit is the power that flows from the Godhead and causes things to come into being. He gives life. Okay? He breathed into us the breath of life. Go to 1 Corinthians chapter 15. 1 Corinthians chapter 15. You can go to 2 Corinthians and take a left. Look at verse 45. 1 Corinthians 15:45. All right? I'm just simply laying the foundation that the Spirit gives life. Okay? And verse 45. And so it is written, the first man, Adam, was made a living soul, but the last man was made a quickening spirit. When Jesus showed up to a tomb, what did he call himself? I am the resurrection and the life. Why? He had the resurrection and the life within him, which is the Holy Spirit. Because the Holy Spirit is the life giver. He's the life of the party. He gives life. He gives lights. He teaches. He guides. He instructs. He leads. Go to 1 Corinthians chapter 6. 1 Corinthians chapter 6. Look at verse 14. And God has both raised up the Lord and will also raise up us by his what? His own power. So whenever you need to be lifted, whenever you need to be raised, the Holy Spirit is there to raise you. He's there to lift you. He's there to help you. He's a helper. Okay? Now, the Holy Spirit is a helper. He does not do things for you. He helps you to do what God wants you to do. He's a helper. Okay? So, he raised us up by his own power. Okay? Let's go to Romans chapter 8. Romans chapter 8. And look at verse 2. For the law of the Spirit of what? Life in who? So, the Holy Spirit is the life in Christ Jesus. What is the law that he operates by? The law of the Spirit of life, the Word of God. Okay? For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus did what? What did it do? Made me free from what? The law of sin and death. There is a law of sin and death. What is that law? When you sin, you die. But then there is a law of life in Christ Jesus. And when you know how to cooperate with the Holy Spirit, he's always leading you to life. He's always leading you to something better. He's leading you out. He's bringing you up. He's bringing you forth. So if his law is about life, then it's not about death. The Holy Spirit brings good things to life. Go to 2 Corinthians chapter 3. 2 Corinthians chapter 3. How many could use a lifting up tonight? You know, maybe you're just down from all the festivities, you're partied out. Well, if you're partied out or pooped out, tonight you come to VCF and you get lifted up. Because there's no way that anybody can be depressed in God's presence. Because the moment, you may enter God's presence with a frown, but the moment you do, it'll be turned around. You just can't help it. God is so good. He's so wonderful. He's so awesome. He's so incredible. 2 Corinthians chapter 3. And let's go to verse 6. Who also has made us able ministers? Say, I'm an able minister. Let's say that one more time. Say, I'm an able minister. Do you realize when God called you, he made you able? He did. That's true. He made us able ministers of the New Testament, not of the letter, but of the Spirit. For the letter kills, but the Spirit what? Gives life. He's a life giver. He's God's powerhouse. He's the horsepower to God's word. Horsepower is a measurement. It's how much one horse can pull. It's a measurement. You know, engines are measured in horsepower. The more horses you got under the hood, the more they can pull and the faster you go. Right? Well, we are about to increase your spiritual horsepower tonight. How many want a boost in your horsepower? It drives depression away. It delivers you out of darkness. It changes your circumstances. It gives you a fresh perspective. Just two tools. Go to Ephesians chapter 1. Ephesians chapter 1. Go to Galatians and take a right. And let's start with verse 16. I'm going to read it from the King James and I'm going to read it from the Amplified. All right? Ephesians 1, 16. Cease not to give thanks for you, making mention of you in my prayers, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give unto you what? How many want the Spirit of wisdom? You can pray for the Spirit of wisdom. This is a scriptural prayer. What does wisdom do? Wisdom helps you choose. Okay? He will give to you the Spirit, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give unto you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of Him. You see the connection between the Spirit and the Word? We need both to be successful Christians. Jesus was filled with the Holy Spirit when He was baptized in water. John saw the Spirit of God descending on Him. And once He was led, once He was filled with the Spirit, then He was led by the Spirit. And because the Spirit of God, when you're filled with the Spirit, you can put up with a lot. You can put up with suffering. You'd be like, oh, God, You're so good. And all this stuff's going on. You'd be like, oh, God, You're so good. You're so good. And all this stuff's going on. God, You're so good. You just get caught up. Did you know that the Spirit of God led Jesus into the wilderness where He did not eat for 40 days? And He was tempted of the enemy at every point like we are. But because He was full of the Spirit, He overcame the enemy and He returned in the power of the Spirit. See, when God leads you to a challenging time, He's got an increase on His mind. But see, people want to get caught up in the challenge. The mountain's too high. The valley's too low. Don't get caught up in the challenge. Know that God's got you and you just get through it with Him and you'll be better off on the other side. Jesus did not spend His entire ministry in the wilderness. It was only a temporary time. 40 days out of 3.5 years. Think about it. Why would anybody choose to spend more time in the wilderness than what they have to? The Israelites did. They chose to spend 40 years in the wilderness. How did they make that choice? They complained. They murmured. They grumbled. Anyway. Okay, verse 18. So when the Spirit of wisdom comes, He increases your revelation in the knowledge of Him. Knowledge of Him is directly related to your knowledge of the Word. Okay? Verse 18. The eyes of your understanding being enlightened. Remember John 1:1? Light came into the darkness. The life was in Him. He is the light. And light shone in the darkness, but the darkness didn't comprehend it. See, He's an illuminator. The Holy Spirit's an illuminator. He wants to illuminate your understanding of God's Word. You want God's Word to work better for you? Learn how to listen to the Holy Spirit. Learn how to listen to His voice. As many as are, Romans 8:14 says, as many as are led by who? They are the sons of God. In other words, those who allow the Holy Spirit to lead them, that qualifies you to be a son or daughter. Let the Holy Spirit lead you. I mean, come on. We need someone to lead us through this. There's a lot of stuff in here. And we need to be taught. We need to be led. We need to follow the Holy Spirit because He works in conjunction with this. Two greatest tools, the Word and the Holy Spirit. So, He wants to increase your understanding. He wants to give you light that you may know what is the hope of His calling, what the riches of the glory of His inheritance in the saints, and what is the exceeding greatness of His power. That's talking about the Holy Spirit again. To us, Word. Say, God's given me power. To us, Word, who what? So what is the qualification to operate in God's power? Believe. Believe. What? To whom are all things possible? To them that what? Believe. All things are not possible to a non-believer. You got to believe. What do you got to believe? You got to believe His word. How do you know you're believing the right word? Because the Holy Spirit will reassure you that you're in the right place at the right time. He'll actually bring scriptures to your remembrance. He'll actually bring things to your remembrance that God has spoken to you. Because sometimes we forget. Hallelujah. So He wants to flood your eyes of your heart with lights so that you can know and understand. The Holy Spirit is big on you knowing and understanding. If you don't know and understand, you can't operate. If you've gotten to a vehicle that you've never driven, and even though you've driven vehicles, you haven't driven this vehicle. The other day, Josiah said, I could fly a helicopter. I said, really? That's awesome. He said, I could make it go up and down. I said, that's great. Go to Ephesians chapter 3, verse 16. He prays another prayer. He says that He would grant you according to the riches of His glory to be strengthened with what? By whom? By His Spirit, where? So when strength comes to you, where's it going to come to you? It's going to come inside, right? Now, in the days of Samson, he didn't have the Spirit come in him. He had the Spirit come on him. He would come on him. He would do great feats of strength. But we have the same Spirit that was on Samson can come in us. So God will strengthen us from within. All right? That Christ may dwell in your heart. So, strengthen with His power so that Christ, the Word, may dwell in your heart. By faith. Where does faith come from? The Word. Say, faith comes from the Word. Faith doesn't come from feelings. Faith doesn't come from opinions. Faith doesn't come from experience. So when you want to tackle a challenge by faith, you can only use the Word and the Spirit. Well, since I did it this way last time, I'm going to face this enemy the same way I did it last time. God may want you to do it differently this time. If you try to do it that, then you're going by experience and you're not going by the Spirit. We can't get in the habit of going by our feelings, going by our experiences, going by the opinions of others. We have to learn how to hear the voice of the Spirit. And He will. And anything that the Spirit says, you can always check it in the Word. If it's not in the Word, it's probably not from the Spirit. You know, Brother Hagin one time, he had a vision. Jesus appeared to him. And Jesus was instructing him, and it was... He said, Jesus, I never heard of that. And Jesus smiled at him and said, son, there's a lot of things you've never heard of. And he said, Brother Hagin said this. He said, I don't care if Jesus appears to me. He said, Jesus, you got to give me scriptures about this. He said, give me two scriptures, and Jesus, I'll do some better. I'll give you four. So Jesus gave him four scriptures about what he was telling Brother Hagin, and that's what Brother Hagin accepted it. But he didn't just accept Jesus appearing. He didn't just accept the experience. Joseph Smith had an experience, so they say. Muhammad, they said, had experiences. You can't just trust the experience. You got to make sure that your experience lines up with the Word. If it doesn't line up with the Word, you can probably throw it out. Okay? So, verse 17, or verse 18, that you being rooted and grounded in love may be able to comprehend with all the saints what is the breadth, the length, the depth, and the height, and to know the love of Christ. How many believe that you can know the love of Christ? The Bible tells us, and Paul is praying this prayer, okay? Who's going to show you about the love? Holy Spirit. He is going to teach you things about the love of God so that you can be rooted in it, so that you can be strong in His love. All right? Because they work together, the Spirit and the Word. Go to Ephesians chapter 6. Let's see another connection between the Word and the Spirit. All right? Verse 10. Finally, my brethren, be strong in who? And who? So we're supposed to be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. Translation, we're supposed to be strong in the Word and in His Spirit. Okay? Because then he goes on to list every piece of armor which has to do with the Word. But what does verse 18 say? With all manner of prayer, making supplication with how? In the Spirit. Okay? Verse 18, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit. So he says, be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. Be strong in the Word, be strong in the Spirit. He lists the breastplate, the helmet, the belt, the shield, the sword, the shoes, all the Word. Then he finishes it up with praying with all kinds of prayer, all different kinds of... Did you know that there are different kinds of prayer? And this is done in the Spirit. It is the Spirit of God who shows you what scripture to apply to what situation. And when you're working together with the Word and the Spirit, you have success. You have success. God told Joshua, He said, this book of the law, the Word, shall not depart out of your mouth, but you may observe to, but meditate in it day and night. Everybody say day and night. That you may observe to do according to all that is written therein. Then you'll make your way prosperous and then you'll have good success. So when you go to the Word, then the Holy Spirit will teach you about what you need to know from the Word. How many's ever read the Bible and you just had a verse jump off at you? You're like, phew. Well, that is the Holy Spirit getting your attention. He's making alive something because He wants you to know it. He wants to show it to you. He wants to give you revelation of it. He wants to give you a deeper meaning. He wants to give you inside information. We have to learn how to work with the Word and the Holy Spirit together. Okay? Now, let me give you some examples of how this worked. Okay? Genesis 41, verses 38 to 41. Pharaoh said to his servants, can we find such a one as this, a man in whom is what? Come on, talk with me. The Spirit of God. Now, Joseph did not have the Spirit in him, but he had wisdom from God. He knew something that no one else in Egypt knew. Because he had a relationship with God. He had gifts that God gave him, dream interpretation, right? It was him interpreting dreams that got him to this point. Okay? So Pharaoh said to Joseph, inasmuch as God has shown you all this, there is no one as discerning and wise as you. Verse 40, you shall be over my house. All my people shall be ruled according to your word. Where did Joseph come from to get before Pharaoh? 2 years. Where did he spend a couple years? Prison. What qualifies you in prison to be a ruler? See, but when you cooperate with the Holy Spirit, you can bypass worldly systems that are set up. And God can give you supernatural access. He can give you favor. You're going to be over my house, and all my people shall be ruled according to your word. Only in regard to the throne will I be greater than you. Verse 41, Pharaoh said to Joseph, see, I have set you over all the land of Egypt. Verse 46, you know how old Joseph was? He was 30. Everybody say 30. Teenagers, if you get a hold of working with the Holy Spirit and following after the Word, you can be in a good place when you're 30 years old. That's only, for some of you, that's 15 years from now, 14 years from now, 13 years from now. How did Joseph do that? Because God was with him. He didn't have the Spirit in him, but he certainly had the Spirit working on his behalf. Amen? In Exodus 28:3, you don't have to turn there, but there were gifted artisans who were filled with the Holy Spirit of God. They were tailors. They designed the priest's garments. They had the Spirit of God to do that. The Spirit of God helped them sew. You mean the Spirit of God can help me sew? Who knows more about sewing than the Spirit of God? Who created sewing? Who was the first one to sew some garments together? God. He sewed garments in the garden. Skins. But Moses had anointed tailors to design a garment that the priests wore. What'd you say? Yes. God also had Spirit-filled craftsmen who could work with metal, who could put buildings together, who could cover things in metal and hammer it out. They were anointed by the Spirit of God. Moses, God took some of the Spirit that was on him and put it on the elders in Numbers 11. The same Spirit that was on Moses, he took some of that and put it on the Spirit of leadership. Because Moses needed help to lead the people. I mean, think about it. There was 2 to 3 million people that Moses was the pastor of. And he was trying to solve everybody's problem. And Jethro says, buddy, you're trying to do too much. How about Jesus? Isaiah 11, verses 1 to 2. There shall come forth a rod from the stem of Jesse. A branch shall grow out of its roots. The Spirit of the Lord shall rest upon him. The Spirit of wisdom and understanding, the Spirit of counsel and might, the Spirit of knowledge and of the fear of the Lord, the sevenfold manifestations of the Holy Spirit. All were on Jesus. He had the Spirit without measure. Spirit of the Lord, Spirit of wisdom, understanding, counsel, might, knowledge. With all those things, don't you think you'd be a success? You got your own counselor. You got your own designer of wisdom. You got understanding. You got knowledge, and you got the fear of the Lord. Beginning of wisdom is what? Fear of the Lord. Okay? Ezekiel 37, verse 14 says this. I shall put my Spirit in you, and you shall live. I shall place you in your own land, then you shall know, understand, and realize that the Lord has spoken it and performed it. God wants to perform what He spoke to you. How does that become possible when you believe what He said? All God wants you to do is believe what He said and do it with all your might, with all your heart. You know, there was a time in Israel's history when they lost the Ark of the Covenant. It was during the years of Samuel. Eli fell off his chair, broke his neck. His daughter-in-law gave birth to a son. They named him Ichabod, which means the Spirit of God has departed, the glory of God has departed. And the Philistines captured the Ark of the Covenant, which contained the Ten Commandments, a pot of manna, and Aaron's rod that budded. And they put that ark in the temple of their false god. And they would go there the next morning, and the false gods would be on their face. They would set the gods. Now, this is funny. They would set the gods up. They would pick the gods that fall down. Can you imagine? Oh, my god fell down. Let me pick him up so I can worship him. How pathetic. Then they put them back in the temple, and then the next day, to make a long story short, their heads and hands were cut off. You don't mess with the ark. The ark represented God's presence. And so the Philistines said, we need to get this thing out of here. So they sent it on a cart with some golden mice in it as an offering, and they sent it back to Israel. The cows were pulling this cart, lulling as they the cows had calves, so they were kind of reluctant to do this, so they were lulling the whole way. And then the ark got back to Israel. And David wanted to have all the pomp and circumstance of religion to bring the ark back to Israel and the tabernacle. So they put the ark on the cart. But the ark was never designed to be carried by a cart. It was designed to be carried by the Kohathites. Only the Kohathites, which was a branch of the priesthood, could carry the ark. They were called by God to carry the ark on their shoulders with the poles. Never on a cart. How many know it's important to do things God's way? See, when we try to put our way on God's things, it never works out. And while the ark was being pulled on a cart, it started to fall because it was unstable. And one of the guys reached out to prevent the ark from falling. He died instantly. Because no one who wasn't ordained by God could touch it. And David was upset. David was hurt. And David repented. And he brought back, he started to bring the ark back in the right way, in the manner that it was designed to be handled. And they would stop every 1,000 feet and offer sacrifices. And David got so caught up in worship that the Bible says he would jump around and spin about wildly. All right? And he got caught up in worship. Now, you have to understand, he didn't have pants on. Okay? He had a tunic on. A tunic was it was like a long dress, it was a garment. But when you jump in the air, it flies up. Ladies probably know this more than anybody. Right? And so he was dancing before the Lord because David just had a love and a passion for God. And he didn't care what people thought. He was the king, but he was also allowed to wear the ephod, which was the priest's garment. He was a kingly priest. And He was jumping up about, spinning around wildly. His tunic was flying in the air. And his wife was looking from the palace. And she began to be critical about his worship. She didn't think that a king should worship like he was worshiping. But God was enjoying it. God was being pleased, but she wasn't pleased, and his wife became barren from that moment for the rest of her life. I say that to say this. The Holy Spirit, He will inspire you to respond to God's word. And sometimes what He inspires you to do doesn't make sense to your mind. And the enemy tries to bring thoughts of what are people going to think? If I do this or if I do that, what are people going to think? You've got to reject those thoughts of what people are going to think, and you got to ask yourself, what would God think? And this is why we have to know the voice of the Holy Spirit. So when he's ready to move, then he just needs some people who are ready, willing, and able to do whatever he inspires them to do. It could be shout. Right? Can you imagine Joshua and all the Israelites? They had to be silent for 6 times. Then they had to be silent for 6 more times on the 7th day. They could not make a noise until what? The 7th time. But once they made the noise on the 7th time, when they shouted, boom, the walls fell down. See, but that's a type and a shadow of how God is teaching us to follow the Holy Spirit. There was a time when I was in the Czech Republic, and there was a team of 7 of us, and they sent us into the area of Moravia. We had to take a train. My team leader and his wife stayed back because someone gave them a car, and they were going to drive the next day. They gave me a map that they drew with a marker. It rained. The map got wet. I couldn't read it anymore. The ink all ran together. How we made it to this place, only God knows. But we made it to the place, and the only thing that we had to eat the entire day when we got there was noodles with nothing on them. Nothing. Plain noodles. No salt, no sauce, nothing but just plain noodles. That was it. Because all the stores, by the time we got to where we were going, all the stores were closed. We had to take this dirt path off the main path. And so the next day, I just felt like I needed to go for a prayer walk. So I'm walking and I'm praying. And it just so happened I got to the end of the dirt road. This little village was down this dirt road. And I got to the end of this dirt road where the main road was. Okay? But just at the very moment when I got there, my leader and his wife were driving past. And they said if they hadn't seen me at that moment, they would have missed this road. Because it wasn't marked. It was just this dirt path about this big. And you didn't think it was going to go anywhere. But if I hadn't been there at that moment in time, he would have missed it. I was being led by the Spirit and didn't know it. I just was going for a prayer because that's just what was in my heart to do. God just put it in my heart. I went on this prayer walk, and lo and behold, God used it to get my leader to where we were. True story. But God wants to do so many amazing things in everybody's life. And He's given us the most excellent, wonderful teacher that we could ever have, His Holy Spirit. He is our helper. He's here to show us. He's here to guide us. He's here to lead us. But He doesn't make you do it. All right? He didn't make you get saved, but He gave you an offer. He doesn't make people get filled with Him, but He gives them an opportunity. And we have to be leading, hearing His voice each and every day, each and every hour. Each and every moment. Amen. So why don't you stand up with me? And those of you that are watching us, these two tools are very easy to use. The Word and the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit will help you understand the Word. He'll teach you the Word. He'll tell you what it means. He'll bring you into all truth. That's His job. All we have to do is follow Him and do what He wants us to do. In Jesus' name, you do that and you will have success in life. Hallelujah. Father, I give you thanks and praise for your Word and your Spirit. If there's anybody here tonight and you need joy, God wants to give you joy.